Please turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that there will be a day that will end the troubles of life. There is a day coming, Lord, when we will be in your presence for all eternity. Lord, by faith, we look towards that day. By faith, we worship, Lord, looking for your return. Lord, right now, we ask for faith, for strength. Help us to stand in your power and in your might. But Lord, help us to realize that there's joy. Joy comes in the morning. And on that day, it'll be a joyous time. But Lord, even now, during the struggles of life, help us to have your joy. Help us to have your sense of presence in our hearts and lives. And may you have all glory for all eternity. And it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray and praise you. Amen. Luke chapter 15. I know it's some families are going through some hard times right now in our church and community. I know the holy days they're special days, and yet we have a dear brother, church member, that his mother passed away just yesterday. We have church members in the hospital. We have church family that has experienced death in their families or sickness just recently, and it's hard times for families, for some families. And even during these times, I would like for us to have a glimpse of joy that's in heaven. And the reason that we can sing joy to the world, the Savior has come, and be able to worship and know that there will be an end to these struggles. There will be an end to them. And that's what this message, Luke chapter 15, it consists, I'm going to share with you three parables that Jesus shares. Now, I've come to learn and am still learning, you can't really build a lot of doctrine on parables because it's teaching a main meaning through these parables. Jesus is telling these stories and to share a true meaning of his love towards us, the Father's love towards us. And that's what these parables in Luke 15 are all about. Now, when he starts naming names, like in Luke chapter 16, that's a true story. It's not a parable to share a meaning, okay? But Luke chapter 15, let's read verses 1 and 2. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners. Would you believe the tax collectors were worse than the sinners to the Jewish people? I mean, they were bad. You didn't want to associate because they were working for Rome. They were considered traitors to the rest of the people. And the sinners drew near to him to hear him, speaking of Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained. The religious people, the religious elite, complained, saying, "This man receives or welcomes sinners and eats with them." And I'm glad he does, aren't you? I'm glad he does. So we get this series of parables because he knew what was in man's heart. He knew what was in their heart. So we get this series of parables of lost things. I read a story before we get into these parables. Read a story about a boss of a major corporation was having a problem with a main computer system. And he had to call an employee at home to find the answers that he needed to do a lot of work. So he calls this employee at home and a little voice answers the phone in a whisper. Hello? He was aggravated because time was viable, and he had to talk to a little child, and he says, "Is your daddy home?" "Yes." "May I speak to your father?" "No." A little whisper. Well, very agitated, he said, "Is your mommy at home?" "Yes." "Can I speak with her?" "No." Very aggravated. He knew that this child couldn't be left attending, a very small child. And he said, "Can I speak with someone else that is there?" Who else is there?" The little voice was whispering. "A policeman." Well, he was getting concerned. A policeman at an employee's home. "Can I speak to the policeman?" "No." "Well, why?" "He's busy talking to mom and daddy and the fireman." He was very concerned. The policeman was busy talking to mom and daddy and the fireman. And then he hears a noise and he says, "What's that noise?" The little whisper, "That's a helicopter." Man, he was real concerned. Policeman, fireman, a helicopter. He said, "What are they doing? What's going on?" And with a little whisper and a little giggle, "They're looking for me." They were looking for the little child. "They're looking for me." God, in all His wisdom, His majesty and glory, took all His resources and poured His love at the cross of Calvary for us, looking for us, searching for the lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what these parables are about. The first parable here, Jesus is explaining about a man who was a shepherd. Now, I want you to also notice about these parables, shepherds were looked down upon. Women were looked down upon. Rebellious children were stoned. They were looked down upon. That's what these three parables are about. So this shepherd loses a lamb. And we're a lot like this lost lamb. Humanity. Lost humanity. A little lamb helpless in the wilderness. A little lamb cannot defend itself. A little lamb is like telling the wolves and the coyotes and the lions, "Come and eat me. I'm defenseless." This little lamb was lost, and the shepherd left the 99 and went out to find this lamb and picks it up and goes home, and he celebrates. He calls his friends and his neighbors and says, "This lamb was lost and I found it. Come, let us rejoice." Notice what Jesus says in verse 7. "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, who turns and asks for forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and one who repents, than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The religious elite that he was talking to, who complained that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors. Joy in heaven than over so many just people who feel like they need no repentance. You see, God draws near to those who draw near to him. Jesus fellowships and dines and has a relationship with those who will repent and seek fellowship with him. That's who he desires to be with. Than those who think that they do not need anything. They can do it themselves. But see, he fellowships and seeks a relationship with those who by faith will trust in him and receive him. Those who know their spiritual need and seek Jesus for help. Those are the ones Jesus fellowships with, and there's joy in heaven. Joy in heaven. Can we really grasp in our minds just what heaven really is, and the angels of God and the throne room of holy God? And we get a picture of it some, like in Isaiah, the seraphims crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And we got a picture of that. And yet when one person who says, "I can't do it," and turns to him in repentance, all of heaven is joyous over that. Let's look at the next parable. The lost coin. We are like the lost valuable coin. We're defenseless like the lamb, we're helpless. Also, this lady who lost this coin, they say it's like a marriage headdress, and that coin was so valuable, and that when she lost it, she swept the house and lit a candle and to look for that coin because it was valuable for her wedding, spiritual covering. So valuable. And when she found that lost coin, look at me with verse 9. Look with me in verse 9. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost." Likewise, Jesus says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Don't miss out on the joy. What does God have joy over? What does the angels of God have joy over? The sinner who realizes their religious condition apart from Jesus Christ. The sinner who repents. There's joy in heaven. Not over the one who says, "I can become righteous apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. There remaineth no more sin for that sacrifice for that person." The one who says, "I'm righteous apart from the blood of Jesus Christ," there's no joy in heaven. Because if that's true, it says in Galatians, Jesus died in vain, and you're calling God a liar. Do you think God is joyous over that? Absolutely not. No, these parables is to show the love of God towards us and how valuable we are and how joyous God is when one repents. Joy in the presence of God. The next parable, the parable of the two lost sons, verses 11 through 32. The story is, the man had two sons, and this is a picture of someone who is without a spiritual family. It's a picture of the love of a father towards his sons and towards his family. It's a picture of how someone can become by doing things on their own. He had two sons, and the youngest said, "Father, I want my inheritance." And he was saying, "Daddy, you're as good as dead in my eyes. Go ahead and give me my inheritance right now." So he gets it. This loving father gives him his inheritance, and he goes out and spends all on riotous living. Now, don't say it's okay for a Christian to do things associated with riotous living. I'm back now with the parable. Spend all he had on riotous living, and this boy wound up in a pig pen. And he came to his senses and says, "The hired servants in my father's house has bread enough to spare." So he rehearses a line of repentance. "Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants." And he rehearses this, and the father was looking for him. He saw the son returning home at a great distance. You know what the father does? He runs to him. He runs to him because, historically speaking, if the servants of the father's house got to that young man before the father did, you know what they would have done? They would have stoned him to death right there, according to the law of Moses, because he was a rebellious son. But the father runs and grabs him and kisses him and says, "Bring shoes, bring a robe, put a ring on his hand." And this my son was dead, now is alive again. And the father rejoices, this loving father. Then this other son, there's a party going on, and the other son who remained there that represents these religious elite that Jesus was talking to. He says, "Your son that spent all of your inheritance and now he's back and you're making a big party and you hadn't even given me a kid for me to have a party with my friends." Listen to what the father says. Look with me. Verse 31. "And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" Joy. You know that the church should be joyous when one receives Christ. Amen? The church, the body of Christ, his hands and feet here on earth, as the shepherd and as the woman and as the loving father, we should be out witnessing our faith. They went out with love, with great care and great concern, because they're valuable to our Father. Joy. This son, it was not joyous. I've heard others say, well, he was lost too, and he was in the Father's house. I do know the religious leaders that Jesus was talking to, they didn't know Christ. And they knew the Old Testament frontwards and backwards. Joy. Joy in the presence of heaven. Turn with me to one more passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, that is a story of the birth of our Lord and Savior. Was he born December 25th? I don't think so. I celebrated then. But listen about joy. Verse 10. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Messiah, the Lord, the Master. Christ the Lord, joy. You see, joy has come to earth. These parables of the lost things, when one repents, there's joy in the presence of angels. This joy came to earth and dwelt among us. Why was it joyous? He provided a way. He's provided a way for us to be in relationship with Him. You see, we're all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. All has lostness. All needs a relationship and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. All of us. And there's joy. This joy has come to earth. Why is it joyous? Because He took our death penalty at the cross. And now we can have relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Everyone says hallelujah. Yes, it's hard times. Yes, there's people hurting. Things happen in this life that we don't like. But joy has come. There's joy in heaven. And one of these days, we're going to be in that joy for all eternity. But you know what? You can have joy right here. Right here. And it's only through Jesus Christ. Don't be like those who think they don't need Christ. We all do. The religious elite needed Christ. He was right in front of them. And they refused. Don't be like that. Have the joy here. And it's only through receiving Christ. Amen. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'll be here to help you any way I can during the invitation. And let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that there's joy to this earth. The Savior was born. And Lord, He can be born in our hearts. He can be born in hearts this morning here at Cooper Baptist Church if they will only repent and turn to you by faith. Lord, I pray that we'll tend to eternity during this time, and may your Holy Spirit, Lord, woo hearts, and may you have all glory in Jesus' name.